Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us to come here this morning. We pray that we might bless you. We thank you that you bless us so abundantly. And yet we come this morning to say thank you for all your goodness to us. Lord, we are so grateful to live in a country like this, where it might appear to be chaotic and everything else. But Lord, it's so different from some other places in the world. We thank you for the relative peace that we have and the relative safety that we have too. Lord, we do pray for those that have been affected by the storms lately. Lord, we pray that you will help those who are in the emergency services helping out. Grant them wisdom and give them strength. Lord, draw near to them as well. And Lord, this morning we pray that as we meet together, we might learn a little more of yourself, of your love, of your goodness to us, and that we might be drawn closer to you as a result of our being here together today. We pray for other churches and chapels in the area. And Lord, we are conscious that for some, getting to church is going to be difficult this morning with flooding around. We pray that you will just bless them wherever they are. For we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. Now, I got three young people helping me today, so I'm going to ask whoever is going to read Luke 15, 1 to 7, to come and read it, please, my love. Thank you.
Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than 199 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away.
Thank you very much. Isaiah 53, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that's the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. You know, lost sheep. Sheep are very good at getting out and not being in the right place. But I want to tell you a story this morning. Not about a lost sheep, because I brought a sheep just to remind you about the sheep. But I want to talk to you for a moment about a cow. All right? Can you see? I brought two. I didn't ask Becca for permission, but I managed it. I want to talk about a cow. Because a long time ago, and some of you might even remember it, we lost a cow. You know, well, you say, well, how do you lose a cow? Well, it was in the summer, and the cows were out in the fields, and we got them in for milking. And sometimes in the summer, when we had the cows out in the fields, when we come to the end of milking, one's missing. You know, and that's a bit of a pain, because we then usually got to go out and look for it and find out where it is. Trouble was, we went looking for this one and we couldn't find it. And we couldn't find it. This was on a Friday evening. We looked all day Saturday, and we still couldn't find it. We went to church on Sunday morning, as usual, and the preacher was a chap called Frank Laws, who was quite a character in himself. But he was with us, and he came for lunch with us, and in the afternoon we went looking for this cow. Well, you might say, well, that isn't much of a problem, really. I mean, if you look at the ditches and rains now, this time of year, no problem at all. But in the summer, when all the grasses are long and just before it's all cut, they basically cover over each rain. And so you can't really see where anything is. And so that afternoon, we all went out looking again, did the milking, came to church. And I remember Mr. Laws saying very well, we got a problem. We need to pray about it. And he said, Barry and Rosemary have lost a cow, and they can't find it. And so he prayed about it. And then we carried on with the service. And I still can picture it now. At the end of the service, there was one of our neighboring farmers outside the church door. And he said, I found your cow. You know, we'd prayed about it. That man did never come to church, but he knew where we'd be, and he found that cow. And we were able to find her and take her back, and everything else was all right. But it just reminds us of the power of prayer and how important it is that we pray about things when there's needs, and how God answers prayer. So just like the cow for us, Jesus had the parable of the lost sheep, and there was one missing. And I'm going to read an old hymn about that, because it describes it a little bit better than I can. It says, there were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away in the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of them ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord went through, or passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray, ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains thunder-riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. We rejoiced when we found the cow. God rejoices when one comes back to himself. I'm going to be from Luke chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. Well, just about all right.
For suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and lost one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the house? Won't she search carefully until she finds the coin? And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbours together. She will say, be joyful,
with me. I have found my lost coin. I tell you, it is the same in heaven. There is joy in heaven over the sinner who turns away from sin.
Thank you. Lovely. Right, lost coin. What was it, 10 days ago? Yeah, 10 days ago, something like that. Chloe was down on the farm along with Beck, and at one stage there was a cow calving, and so Chloe helped with that, and then you went up, didn't you? You were somewhere else, and Chloe decided that there was another one coming. Is that right? And she was down there, and suddenly her wedding ring was gone. Yeah. And she was very good about it. She said, I only got a cheap one because I might have lost it. And I never had a wedding ring because I was worried that I would leave it in the back of a cow or something silly like that. So, you know, that's why I didn't have one. But at any rate, we searched very hard to try and find it. Now, you can imagine a gold ring in lots of straw, not the ideal situation at all. And in fact, lots of people looked and didn't manage to find it, did we? And so Chloe was very good about it, and she coped with it quite well. But at any rate, what was it, a day later or 2 days later? Yeah, 2 days later, Rosemary had a knock on the door, and there was a chap there, and he wondered if he could come and look over some of our land with his metal detector. Now, we've never had anybody come to want to look over our land with a metal detector in 38 years. And the day after, or 2 days after Chloe lost her ring, somebody arrived. Now, what had happened in between was that a lot of us had been praying about it. And the fact was that the man went down with you. Yeah, and within a minute, he found it, or he found out where it was. And Becca picked up a small amount of straw like that, and she couldn't even see it then. And he said, well, it's in there. And eventually, they found it in there. It was that difficult. But what I wanted to say is that, you know, there was a loss. There was prayer, and God overruled. And I think, Indy, you said that at one stage that happened with you two, didn't it? You lot found a ring?
Yeah, well, we didn't. His best friend did.
Yeah, yeah, and that was one that you've been looking for, and
yeah,
got overruled in that one.
It wasn't that.
No. And, you know, I think sometimes we need to remember that. And there was great rejoicing because we'd found Chloe's ring. Everybody was thrilled to bits about that. And more than that, we were thrilled because God had overruled. God had answered our prayers in a way that we wouldn't have worked out at all. I mean, you know, these people were... Well, they worked at Hinkley Point, apparently, and they did evening shifts, and they were quite keen on metal detecting. And, you know, they had a bit of paper all about what they did, and they were, you know, careful and all the rest of it. So they were authentic metal detectors, if you like. And they came on that day and found the ring. God can overrule in so many ways. But at the end of it, like Logan read, there was great rejoicing because of that. And God rejoices over a sinner that repents in the same way. Great rejoicing. I got a little thing here, which is up in our bedroom normally, and it's fairly ancient, and it's fairly awful, and most people wouldn't give it house room, and all the rest of it. But it says this. It says, one little life to live today, then use it well. The good one kindly deed may do, oh, who can tell? One master, let him have the best your life can give. God's glory be your one chief aim, by him to live. And we got that up above our bed at home. And it just reminds us of the fact that we've got one life to live today, and we need to use it well. We need to use it for God's glory. Would you like to do your reading now, please? Luke 15 again.
Yeah. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of the father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate.
Thank you very much. Lost sheep, lost coin, and lost son. I'd like to again take an example for us that we found with that situation. When our Pete was 18 months old, he had croup. And he had it quite bad. And we rang the doctor, and they suggested that we put a steaming kettle near him to try and clear the croup. We pointed out to the doctor that he had been in our bathroom all night with a bath running to get as much steam as we could, and he was still in trouble. He went blue. the ambulance came and took him to Barnstable. I couldn't ride in the ambulance, so I had to go in the car. And that was one of the longest journeys I've ever had in my life, because I didn't know whether at the other end of the journey Pete would still be alive. But again, there was a message got round very quickly, and lots of people prayed, and Pete was still alive when we got to the hospital. And that night, all the surgeons and that from North Devon had been gathering for a medical conference in the hotel that was next to the hospital. They were all there ready, and they were able to save his life to such an extent that when we asked how things were a week later, when there was a nurse with him all the time, 24 hours, they said he's got a 50-50 chance now. We didn't realise how ill he'd been. And during that time, we'd handed over Pete to the Lord, said, "Lord, use him as you would." You know, sometimes we have to hand over things, don't we, to the Lord, and let him trust him for what's going to happen for the future. Pete made a recovery, a full recovery. What we didn't know till afterwards was that there had never been a young baby that young having a tracheotomy at 18 months, and only the week before they'd had in the tubes and that which would allow it to happen. You know, God overruled, and I just realised that, you know, sometimes you've got to hand over things to the Lord and trust him. So we go on to the story in the parable of the son, and how often we can find ourselves in positions where people that we love very much just want to get away, to get out. And this younger son wanted all that was his, if you like. He was up for grabbing everything that he could. He wasn't wanting to share any of it. And then he went and spent all that he had. In the Old Testament, in the AV, it says on riotous living. You know, we don't know what it was. We don't need to know what it was. But he just wasted his money. And whilst you've got money about, you can have lots of friends. And I put that in brackets, really, because sometimes you have people who are keen on you because you've got money, or because you're a well-known personality, or whatever. And then suddenly we read there was a great famine in the land, and all those friends disappear like mad. And he was in very dire straits. Didn't have any money, didn't have any friends. He got a job on a pig farm, and we read that he would have happily ate the food the pigs were eating in order to keep himself alive. And then he thought about it. It's a bit like us, isn't it? Sometimes we need to think about things. He thought about it, and he thought of his father. He thought of the family all back there with plenty. The servants there being well looked after. And he said, "I'll go back. I'll say sorry. I'll become like a servant rather than a son." He had repented, and he was seeking forgiveness from his father. His dad was looking out. A long way away, he could see his son coming. He'd been looking for him, a bit like our Heavenly Father looks for us. We find there in the parable that the father ran to meet his son. He didn't stay all stiff-necked and waiting for him to arrive and all the rest of it. He ran to meet his son, put his arms around him, gave him a hug, kissed him, and drew him back, and said to the servants, "Go, get the best clothes, get the best ring, put it on him. My son was lost and is found." It's a bit like that for us, isn't it? Each one of us came from God in the first place. We believe the story of creation, then God formed man and woman at the beginning of time. And we, if you like, we read in Genesis 3 how Adam and Eve decided to go their own way, thought they knew better than God. And so as a result of that, sin came into the world. And all the sin that's in the world has come as a result of that. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However good we are, we're not good enough. However much good we do, it's not enough to earn our salvation. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. We just sung that he should send his only son to make a wretch his treasure. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is like that father in the parable, longing for us to return to him. And he welcomes us with open arms. And just like with the lost sheep, with the lost coin, so it is with the lost son. There was great rejoicing when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When I was at university, I wasn't the most studious, as you can imagine, of students there. But I did occasionally venture to the university library. But it was usually with a message for other Christians who were far more studious than me, that somebody come to know the Lord. That was about the only time I ventured into the university library. But it was great rejoicing and couldn't stop to share the good news. And so it is for us as well. When someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to come from being lost to being found, there's great rejoicing. Not only here, but throughout the church and throughout heaven. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Another hymn tells us that if we'd been the only one that Jesus had to die for, he would have done so. I just trust that we might just rejoice in the fact that we've either come to know the Lord Jesus, we thought about it, or perhaps even now are being challenged to think on eternal issues. There's great rejoicing for those who come to know the Lord Jesus in eternity and for eternity. I'd like us to just spend a moment or two in quiet, just praying for folks that perhaps you've been praying for ages, that you would wish to come to know the Lord Jesus. I mean, we would always wish that everyone would come to know the Lord, but sometimes you've got people on your heart that you've been praying about for a little while. And I'd just like us to spend a minute, say, just praying quietly about that. Let's just sit and pray. To answer our prayers that we've said silently in the last minute or so. Lord, we pray that you will draw people to yourself. We thank you for your great love towards us. That we have been loved with an everlasting love. And for many of us, we have been led by grace that love to know. Lord, we pray that each one of us here might know you and your great love. And Lord, we pray there might be rejoicing in heaven over those that perhaps we've prayed about and have responded to that prayer, responded to you. Lord, we do pray that people might come to know you. And Lord, at the same time, we pray for our nation. We pray that truth and righteousness might prevail in this land of ours. We pray for the world. And Lord, we do pray that those who are out to commit evil deeds might be thwarted. They might see your love and respond to it. So, Lord, thank you for being with us. Encourage us, we pray, for we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. Perhaps we could conclude by singing number 967, please. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. 967, please.